Okay, good evening, everybody. Again, Erev Shabbos. Welcome back to our weekly Pirkei Avos class learning. And it's not only Erev Shabbos, it is also Erev Shiva Asar B'Tammuz. So we are about to enter the most somber, and difficult, mournful, tragic period of the 3 weeks when we truly must strengthen ourselves in not only the Torah, but Midos Tovos, to counteract the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, which was brought about by Sinas Chinam, which is the truest lack of Midos Tovos. And Pirkei Avos helps us form ourselves and shape ourselves into better people and closer to the Ribono Shel Olam, and hopefully closer to fellow men. Rav Elimelech Biderman says, Pirkei Avos, Avos, Tractate Avos, is in Seder Nezikin. In Mishnayos, it's in Seder Nezikin of the Shisha Sidre Mishnah. So why is it in Sefer Nezikin? Because the one who does not study Avos and does not work on character improvement, says Rav Meilich, is the biggest mazik. Someone who does not work on strengthening his character, changing his midos, is the biggest mazik, the biggest damager. And that's how you will always remember that Pirkei Avos is in Seder Nezikin. So we have three sponsors this evening. I will give them in the order that I was received them. The first is our friend Sandy Leader, who has sponsored before. And we thank you and your family very, very much. Zeichu Nishmas, her mother, Gracia Bas Rafael, whose yahrzeit is Thursday 15 Tammuz, which is today. Atru Eishas Chayel, she supported my father in all his tzedakah ventures, Sandy wrote, as well as an active officer of the Brewer's Mikvah Committee in Washington Heights. When we were all grown, she worked full-time without taking salary and running the Brewer's dinner office for many years. She had a saver panim yafos for everyone, an open home for all who needed. People spent the night, months, or years in our home. She was beloved by family and friends. Tehi zechra baruch. Not only that, but also in memory of Sandy's uncle, Harav Shmuel ben Rafael, whose yahrzeit is 16 Tammuz. So these yahrzeits are each one day apart. Tonight we go into 16 Tammuz tomorrow. As described last year, which I remembered when Sandy sent this to me, I said, I can't believe it's here because I remember this from last year. He died al Kiddush Hashem while trying to smuggle as many Jews out of France as possible, going so far as to accompany them through the Pyrenees Mountains into Spain dressed as a priest. Many generations of Jews owe their existence to his bravery, Hashem Yinkom Damam. So may both Neshamas, Gracia Bas Rafael, Yurtzeit 15 Tammuz, and Harav Shmuel Ben Rafael, Yurtzeit 16 Tammuz, married Zechiros and Elios Latova. And we thank Sandy very much for her sponsorship this evening. Gail Hoffman, who has also sponsored before, who also learns with me in multiple venues, is sponsoring for her father's 37th yahrzeit, which is the Shabbos, 17th Tammuz. So I thought that this was so interesting, because the Zechiras and Elios Neshamas cover Tesvav, Tesayin, Yodzayin Tammuz, three consecutive dates. So her father's 37th yahrzeit is the Shabbos. He was Nifter on Shivas Arba Tammuz. So it should be Zechus Aliyah Neshama for Chaim ben Moshe Alav Hashalom. It is also Zechus Refuah Shleima, which we have had repeatedly before. A young child who needs a continued Besoros Tovos and good health. Shlomo ben Saradina, Besoch Sh'ar Cholei Yisrael. And Elchanan Pesach ben Sarah should also have a Zechus Refuah Shleima. And the final sponsor is Malka Hach, the Zechron Ismash, her father, Mordechai Avram ben Binyamin. And she wrote that her father was a Holocaust survivor who lost his wife and five children in the Shoah. He lost his Simchas HaChaim after that, but with exceptional amunah and inner strength. It's something unfathomable to us that he lost his wife and five children. He went on to rebuild and built a beautiful family, children and grandchildren with Torah and Yiras Shamayim. My father was a beautiful Baal Tefillah. He loved singing, Malka Hach wrote, and I can still hear his songs when I think of our Shabbos table at home. So we also thank Malka Hach very much, and this shir should be a Zechira and Aliyah Neshama for her father, Mordechai Avram ben Minyamin. May all Neshamos have Aliyos Zechiros Latova, and may both Cholim Shlomo ben Saradina and Elchanan Pesach ben Sarah mer refuah shleima bekarov in the zchus of the Divrei Torah that we will share this evening. With that, let's get right into our learning. So it's Parshas Balak, and there is a very explicit Mishnah that relates very strongly to Inyanei Dioma in terms of the Parsha. Because the basic story of Parshas Balak begins in Perach of Beis, Pasuk Beis. We're not going to go into the Chumash, but Balak, the king of Moab, hires Bilam, the famous sorcerer slash prophet, to come and curse the Jews. Balak is afraid of this nation. They cover the eye of the land. He does not want to be defeated by Am Yisrael, so he figures he'll hire Bilam, the sorcerer, to come curse the Jews. Balak sends emissaries to get Bilam to come. Bilam says, I can't go with these ones. Send more prominent emissaries, and then maybe I could go. The next delegation that comes is more important than the first delegation. Hashem doesn't want him to go, but he insists on going. Hashem finally says, "B'derech she'adam rotzeh v'eleich, b'malichen oso." If you want to go, go. But only the matter that I tell you is what you will be able to speak. While he's riding on the way with his trusty donkey, they start having a conversation because the donkey sees the Malach of Hashem on the path. Bilam does not see her. She first goes into the field, then she pushes his leg into the walls of the vineyard. Finally, she crouches down low, and he's hitting her and making an embarrassment of himself in front of Sarai Moav. "Why did you hit me three times?" The donkey starts talking. "You made a mockery of me," said Bilam. Finally, he gets to Balak ben Zippor, the king of Moav. They set up Mizbechot, and Bilam offers korbanos to God as if he could appease God to allow him to curse the Jews. And every time he tries to curse the Jews, instead of cursing them, he says beautiful blessings. Some of the most beautiful prophecies that we have, the most famous of which is Matovu Ohalecha Yaakov, Mishkan Asecha Yisrael, which is how we begin our daily davening. He also says, Hein Am Levadod Yushkon Uvagoyim Kimirosh Surimar Enu Amigva Os Asherenu Hein Am Levadod Yushkon Uvagoyim Lo Yishashav, which is a prophecy that continues to be fulfilled in every single generation of our continued existence. And he speaks about in his final prophecy, Yemos HaMashiach, the coming of the end of days. So Bilam's prophecy is so great, it rivals that of Moshe Rabbeinu. That's the greatest prophecy to us. That's what the Sifri tells us in Vezos HaBracha, Lo Kam Navi B'Yisrael Kam Moshe Asher Yado Hashem Panam HaPanim B'Yisrael Lo Kam Aval B'Ula Mumos HaOlam Kam. Who was as great as Moshe Rabbeinu in prophecy? Bilam. However, his character leaves very much what to be desired. And with this, we will go to the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. 1 second, please. Let me start to screen share. Okay, can you see the handout that I prepared here? Pirkei Avos 5:22. Yes, thank you very much. Okay, so the Mishnah tells us as follows. We just read this is Pesach Shabbos. If you are learning through Pirkei Avos on Shabbos afternoon after Mincha, during these summer months, then we just read this. We just read this parak of Pirkei Avos this past Shabbos. So the Mishnah tells us as follows: Pirkei Avos, Parakei. You see it on my screen. Mishnah Chav Beis. Call Mishiyesh Biyadu Shlosha Dvarim Halalu. Anyone who has in his hand these three things, Mi Talmidav Shal Avram Avinu, who should know that he is considered like from the students of Avram Avinu. Ushlosha Dvarim Acheru Mi Talmidav Shal Bilam Harasha. But if he has three other things, he's from the students of Bilam Harasha. So you see, every biblical personality has a last name. Adam is Harishon, Avram is Avinu, Sarah is Imenu, Moshe is Rabbeinu, Aaron is HaKohen, Shmuel is HaNavi, every Devorah is HaNaviah, as is Miriam HaNaviah. Every biblical personality has a last name, and Bilam's last name is Harasha. So even though his prophecies were Gevaldic, he was merely a vehicle or a vessel, those were God's words. Bilam himself is a Rasha. And if you have three certain character traits, then you know you come from the students of Avram Avinu. If you have three other character traits, then you come from the students of Bilam HaRasha. So Ayin Tova, Veruach Nemucha, Venefesh Shefala, Mitamidav Shavram Avinu, someone who has a good eye, Ruach Nemucha, a low or humble spirit, Venefesh Shefala, Mistapik Bemiut. That's what Nefesh Shefala is. You're satisfied and content with a little. You don't need a lot. Your soul is not broad. It's more narrow in terms of not needing things. Mitamidav Shavram Avinu. So these are the three traits of Avram Avinu. Ayin Tova, a good eye, Ruach Nemucha, humble spirit, and Nefesh Shefala, Mistapik B'Mio, you know you are a student of Avram Avinu. However, if you have three different traits, Ayin Ra'ah, a wicked or bad eye, the ruach gevoa, a haughty or conceited spirit, the nefesh rechava, a broad soul. It takes a house full of silver and gold to fill your soul, which is exactly, by the way, what Bilam told Balak. You have to pay me a house full of silver and gold. Nefesh rechava, mi tabidav shal Bilam harasha. You know you are from the tamidim of Bilam harasha. So again, ayin ra'a, evil eye, ruach gevoa, conceited, haughty spirit, nefesh rechava, a broad soul. You are the student of Bilam harasha. Ma bein, continues the Mishnah, Tamid of Shavram Avinu, Tamid of Shabilam Harasha. What is between the students of Avram Avinu and the students of Bilam Harasha? Tamid of Shavram Avinu, when it comes to students of Avram Avinu, those who have a good eye, a low spirit, and mistopic b'miyu, ochlin ba'olam haza, v'no chalin ba'olam haba. They will enjoy in this world, they will eat in this world, but also they will inherit the world to come. So they will have a positive, pleasant olam haza, and they will have an eternity of wonder. Shenemar lahan chil ohavayesh, like the pasuk says in Mishlei. The pasuk says in Mishlei to cause to my lovers to inherit votes rosehem amalei, and their storehouses I will fill. So God says, those who love me, I will cause them to inherit the next world, and I will fill their storehouses with the greatest treasures. Aval tamidav shel Bilam harasha, but the students of wicked Bilam, yarshin gehenim, v'yardin lebe'er shachas. They inherit gehenim, purgatory, and they go down to the depths of the netherworld. Shenema, like the pasuk says in Tehillim, Vata Elokim toridim lebe'er shachas. And you, Elokim, you God, lower them down to the pit, to the sheol. I'm Shaydamim, men of blood, Umirma, and trickery, deceit, Lo Yachitsu Yameim, they will not even live out half their days, V'ani Avtachbach. As for me, I trust in you, God. So this is what the Mishnah tells us. It begins by distinguishing between the character traits of what should be a Talmud of Avram Avinu, an upstanding Jew, one who goes in the ways of Hashem. We should have a good eye when we look at other people. We should have a humble spirit and understand our place in this world and in this nation, and certainly and we should be mistapik b'miyur over, I think it was over Pesach that I read in the Pesach Mishpacha. So a certain group, they sent a certain group of, I think it was seminary girls, to Robertson Kanievsky to learn about being mistapik b'miyur, which is nefesh shafala. Your soul doesn't need much gashmis to be filled. Mistapik b'miyur. I think it was in the, there were interviews with the Kanievsky daughters in the Mishpacha family first Pesach. So they sent this delegation to Robertson Kanievsky to learn about mistopic b'miyur. I mean, it's famous that her kitchen was so small, her fridge was in the bedroom, and her oven was so teeny, and it was man nomer, man adaber. So Robertson Kanievsky said to them, why are you coming to me to learn how to be mistopic b'miyur? I have so much. I have blessings that are overfilling. So someone who is a student of Avram Avinu, who the mark of a Jew, well, we began the shir by saying that someone who does not work on tikkun amidos is the biggest mazik. These are three midos we must integrate into our very selves. To have an ayin tova, to have a ruach nemucha. We're not the best thing since Adam. You're very important. Hashem gave us a tafkid, but we have to know our place. V'nefesh shafala. And on the other hand, if you embody three other traits, ayin ra'a, ruach gevoha, nefesh rechava, you are the students of Bilam Harasha. First nekuda that I want to point out. So we went through the Mishnah. The first nekuda I want to point out is something very, very interesting. If you look at the Talmidim of Avram Avinu, it describes their existence in two worlds. Okay, look. Ochlin ba'olam haza, one world. They will eat, meaning they will consume the reward, the benefit of this lifestyle in this world. V'nochalin ba'olam haza. But also, they will inherit the world to come. What's very interesting, and then the Mishnah then says, about tamidav shel Bilam Harasha, yorshin gehenim, v'yardin lebe'er shachas. It doesn't seem that the Mishnah is describing their existence in olam haza. It's only talking about their existence in olam haba. So how could this be? It's not an equal parallel. Am I making the question clear? What struck me when I was learning the Mishnah is that the Talmidim of Avram Avinu are described both in this world and the next world. They will have an enjoyable, bountiful this world, Ochlim Ba'olam Haza. However, Nochalin Olam Haba, their eternal reward, their ultimate heritage, their inheritance is the next world. But when it comes to Bilam Harasha, Yarshin Gehenim, V'yardim L'Be'er Shachas, they inherit the purgatory and they go down to the Sheol. So that sounds like it's talking about only the next world. So what I was thinking was, is that because people who live with an Ayin Ra'a, Ruach Gevoha, and Nefesh Rechava, do not enjoy this world. It's as if they're not living. They don't have a pleasant. They're not eating in this world. They're not satisfied in this world because nothing is ever good enough for them. They look at everyone and everything with an ayin ra. Everything is so negative in their lives. Ruach gevoha. No one is ever good enough for them because their spirit is so haughty. And nefesh rechava. They want more and more. I want a house full of gold and silver, he said to the officers of Balak. Only if Balak gives me a house full of gold and silver, I want all his money. Rashi says on the pasuk, he desired the money of others. So they don't have any existence in Olam Hazeh. Their existence is non-existence. Their existence is a hellish existence. So perhaps what the Mishnah says, when the Mishnah says Yarshin Gehenim, they inherit Gehenim, it's referring to this world. The Yardin Leber Shachas, it's referring to the next world. And now there is a parallel. By the students of Avram Avinu, Ochlin Ba'olam Hazeh. What's the Olam Hazeh of the students of Bilam Harasha? Gehenim. And the students of Avram Avinu, Nochalin Ba'olam Haba. And what's the next world for the students of Bilam Harasha? Yardin Leber Shachas. So this was a machshava that I had. I actually thought about it yesterday. I was so excited when I was preparing this shir because here I come across the Tosfos Yom Tov and Imamish says, Baruch Shekivanti, Imamish says this Ha'ara. So now it's definitely true. If I say maybe it's true, maybe it's not true. If the Tosfos Yom Tov writes his commentary to the Mishnah, then it's true. So what I was miscaving apparently is correct. The Tosfos Yom Tov explains, what does it mean that the students of Bilam HaRasha are Yorshin Gehenim? They inherit Gehenim, Ba'olam Haza. Oh, so that's exactly what I thought to myself. Someone who constantly lives everything around you, see with a negative eye. The weather's no good. The house is no good. The food is no good. The people are no good. The teacher's no good. The rav is no good. The drasha was no good. The person who sat next to me in shul is no good. Her clothing were no good. Everything is not good. And I am ruach gevoa. I am better than everybody else. We have certain politicians who think they are better than everyone else. Chaman son, certain people who are not politicians who also think they're better than everybody else. The nefesh rechava. You're never satisfied with the gashmis you have. You always want more and more and more and more and more gashmis. So I was thinking to myself, they don't have an Olam Hazeh, because their Olam Hazeh is hellish, because they're never satisfied and they're never content. They're the opposite of Ezo Asher Samech B'chalko. So when the Mishnah says Yarshin Gehenim, that's their Olam Hazeh. Yardin Leber Shachas, that's their Olam Hazeh. And Taka, that's what the Tosfos Yom Tov exactly says. Yarshin Gehenim means Ba'olam Hazeh. Their life becomes a hellish existence because they will never, ever, no matter how much they have, no matter how old they are, no matter what they accomplish, Chose einenu shoveli. It will never be enough. And they turn their Olam Hazeh into Gehenim. And after death, they go down to the Be'er Shachas. Let's look at Rashi. So Rashi says, you see here on the screen, Ayin Tova. What does it mean to have an Ayin Tova? Says Rashi, she'eino kina achaviro. He's not jealous of his friend. V'chaviv alav kvod chaviro kikvodo. How much is he not jealous of his friend? He's so not jealous of his friend that he doesn't have any jealousy. What it means, Rashi is explaining on the Mishnah what it means to have a good eye. So Rashi says to have a good eye means he doesn't have any jealousy over his friend. And his friend's kavod is as dear to him as his own kavod. I spoke about kavod abrius extensively this morning in a different shir. So his friend's kavod, his friend's honor and respect and dignity is as dear to him as his own. That's what an ayin tov is. What's a ruach nemucha? Okay, a low conceit, not conceit, I'm sorry, a low humble spirit. Eina anav v'shafel berach. He is an anav. He is a humble person, and he is low. Berach is from the word birkayim. Shafal berach. He knows when to bend himself down before others. He doesn't think that he is so holier than thou. Nefesh shafala. These are the three traits. Rashi is describing the three traits of the student of Avram Avinu. What's a nefesh shafala? Shemash be'atzvo bein hanashim u'ma'orei b'neim ve'eno gas ruach. He lowers himself between people. He mixes with them. He is not of conceited spirit. When we go away for Shavuos, to the Y-Shviz, Shavuos Ritz Yarche Kala program, which is really just absolutely tremendous, unbelievable. And sometimes I have the very undeserved chus of having really chashav and tremendous Talmidei Chachamim come to a shir or so or two of mine. And this is really the epitome of someone who is mashbil atzmo. It's not mechuyev, there's no check mark that says you have to go to the shir, there's multiple speakers at a time. And everyone can choose what they want to go to. Uma oriv b'neim. It's someone who's a gadol but knows how to mix with the people. Ve'eno gas ruach. He is not of haughty, conceited spirit. He doesn't think he's any better than anybody else. Aval Bilam HaRasha says Rashi. Wicked Bilam, says Rashi. Haisa bo ayin ra. He had a wicked eye. Kemoshen emra. Like the pasuk says, Vayisa Bilam es enav. Vayar sisol shochein l'shvata. Bilam lifted his eyes, and he sees Israel dwelling according to their tribes. Now he launches into the beautiful prophecy of Matovu, and he launches into the beautiful prophecy like streams planted by aloe, but the Chazal tells in the Gemara he really wanted to curse them. He had such an eye in Ra. He lifts his eye, he sees them dwelling according to their tribes. What he really wants to do with his eye in Ra is give them curses. What is Ruach Gevoha? How do we know Ruach Gevoha? Because what does Bilam say to the first delegation who came? Me'ein Hashem li titi lalochi mecham ala imachirim. How do we know he had a Ruach Gevoha, a conceited spirit? Because the first delegation that comes to get him, meaning the lowly congressman of Balak, he says, you think I'm going to go with you? You people are nothing in the government. Send me the senators, then I will go. Send me someone more prominent. Send me the Speaker of the House. Send me the district attorney. You think I'm going to go with you? You're a little Joe Schmo. You're nothing. You're nobody. He had a Ruach Gevoha only if Balak was willing to send him great dignitaries to show him complete kavod, then he would go. And that's how we know he had a Ruach Gevoha. And finally, Nefesh Rechava, a broad spirit. Im yitain li Balak mali beso kesef v'zahav. All the gashmis in the world was not enough to satisfy him. Rashi says on the Chumash, this is Rashi to the Mishnah, but Rashi says on the Chumash, he was chamad mamon achirim. He desired the money of others. And he actually said to Balak, you should give me all of your money to curse these people. Balak has to give me a house full of silver and gold, so we know he had a nefesh rechava. Nusach acher, another thing, nefesh kutsara. He had a short soul, if you will. Not like, you know, long and short, but someone who was short. Someone who is never satisfied. And Rashi gives how you say it in Old French, Vina Kirat, I'm not sure what that is in Old French. Shenafshu Ksara Olav Umo Ace. Kal Masha Einav Ra'os. His soul is short within him. And he is disgusted by Mo'es. He rejects. He finds everything that his eyes see despicable. The Ein Lo Dibur Tov in Bnei Adam. He never has a pleasant word to say. Hopefully, none of us know people like this. But there are such people. Where everything is negative, it's their way or the highway, and nothing is ever good enough. And we're coming, like I mentioned, it's every 3 weeks. Shabbos itself is actually Shiva Sarva Tamas, and it's a fundamental importance. You know, the Sefer Bilvavi Mishkan Evna, which I'm teaching Kanai Nahar for I think about seven and a half years now, Congregation Shari Tefillah, sponsored by the Frund family. Says something that's so profound. We learned it many years ago, but it really stuck in my head. The Sefer Bilvavi Mishkan Evna says, inside every person is every biblical personality. That's a very profound thing to say, to teach, to give over. It means we all have an Avram Avinu in us, so we all have the capacity to have an Ayin Tova, Ruach Nemuvcha, and Nefesh Rechava. Why did you come to me, says Rabbi Kanievsky, to learn about Mistapik Vimir? I have so much. Go to someone else. But just like we all have an Avram Avinu inside of ourselves, we also all have a Bilam HaRasha inside of ourselves. Inside every personality is every biblical personality. That means we all have the capacity, capability, perhaps affinity or inclination for our Yetzer Hara, for Ayin Ra, to see the negative around us. Nefesh Rechava and Ruach Gevoha. Why does Nefesh Rechava, says Rashi, Shenafsho? So, you know, it's hard, because sometimes when you come to a shiur like this, you might think, oh, she's not talking to me. I see everything with a good eye. I am the most humble person. If you're saying that, so it's already a little bit ringing bells that one who thinks he's the most humble person is a little bit of a problem. I'm not, just between you and God. But the point is that when we come to a shiur like this and we look at these sources, it's easy to say it's not me, it's somebody else. It's very easy to say that. Ein Adam Rochav L'Asmo, says the Gemara. A person does not see their own faults. I see everyone else's faults. I don't see my own faults. So what we have to do as we enter the 3 weeks, each person for themselves. I have no idea your level. I don't know your relationship with your Baal Shem. It's actually none of my business. It's between me and God, and it's between you and God. However, every person has to ask themselves, where am I holding? Right now, at this point in my life, who am I more akin to? Avram Avinu and his three traits, or Bilam HaRasha and his three traits? And if I find that I'm more akin to Avram Avinu and his three traits, I have to strengthen them. And if I find I'm more like Chalila Bilam HaRasha and his three traits, I have to try and move away from that. You have to try and be. It's almost impossible to be objective, but a person should know who they are. And it's godless to stand before the Ribbono Shel Olam and say, Hashem, please help me change. One of the most powerful things from the Henny Malchus biography, I quoted it this morning in Shir. One of the most powerful things from, and last night in Shir. And I'm going to quote her now again. One of the most powerful things in the Henny Malchus biography, she says, Korach wasn't punished because he was Korach. I'm paraphrasing, it's not exactly these words, but this is what Henny teaches. Korach wasn't punished because he was Korach. Korach had kina, taiva, and kavar. A different Mishnah. Korach was punished because he didn't ask Hashem to help him change. So it's possible that it's hard to see the good. We live in a difficult world. People have a lot of personal nisyonos. The government of this country is in a dire straits. The world stage is frightening. Sometimes it's hard to have an ayin tova. A person has to stand before their Baal Hashem and say, Hashem, look at me, look at who I am. Please help me change. What does it mean, nafsha rechava? Nefesh rechava, says Rashi. She nafsha ktsara alav umo eis. Kol ma she'enev ro'ot. Mo'es, mios, disgusting. His soul is short, and he is disgusted by everything his eyes see. Excuse me. Ve'eino dibur tov in b'nei adam. He has nothing good to say. Everything is negative. Kim bekoshi ve'achzarios. He lives a life. He speaks with difficulty and cruelty. And then Rashi quotes. It took me a little while to find where Rashi was quoting from, because I wasn't sure Rashi was quoting from, but it's a pasuk from Zechariah, actually. Rashi quotes a proof from Zechariah, and Rashi also quotes this to Bamidbar, Perichov al Pasuk Dalet, just for our reference. Batikzar nafshi behem. My soul was like cut off, disgusted by them. Vegam nafshi bechalabi. Nafsham bechalabi. And their souls were like sick inside of me. So this is what it means. We already did the Tosos Yom Tov. I was very happy to find the Tosos Yom Tov, because that was the machshava that I had, which is that a person who has these negative traits, he doesn't even have an Olam Hazeh. He might be physically alive, but metaphysically he's not living, because his whole life is bad. His whole life is all about the I, and his whole life is I want more and more. So that's what the Tosef Yom Tov says. When it says, Yorshim Gehenim, it's talking about the Olam Hazeh of the students of Bilma Rasha. Furthermore, we just went through Rashi, Ayin Tova, he's not jealous, and his friend's covet is as important as his own. Ruach Nemucha, he is humble. Nefesh Shvala, he lowers himself between the people. He mixes with the simple people. He is not of haughty spirit. Ruach Gevoha, I want the whole house of silver and gold. Nefesh rechava, as we finally just explained, nafsho kitsara alav umoes kol masha'en of ro'os. Let me go to the Bartanura. I know here it says Rav Shamsha Fal Hirsch. I would like to get to Rav Shamsha Fal Hirsch as well, but I'm not sure how much time we have. I have a different screen share for you. So first we're going to go to the Bartanura. The Bartanura says, mi talmidav shal Avram Avinu. Someone who is from the students of Avram Avinu. La made mi menu v'holich b'drachav. So the Bartanura, what the Bartanura is addressing is, why doesn't it say he is like Avram Avinu? Why does it say from the students of Avram Avinu? Because what does it mean to be a student? It means to learn from that person. So you should be someone who learns from Avram Avinu. Then you're considered a student and you go in his ways. A person should learn from his Rabbi and go in his ways. So you learn from Avram Avinu and go in his ways. Then you have the designation, Mitamidav Sha Avram Avinu. Ayin Tova, Mistapik B'Masha Yeshla. So I was using the word Mistapik B'Miu. Mistapik B'Masha Yeshla. You're content. You have enough with what you have. The Eino Chol made Mamona Chirim. You're content with what you have. Where they take their winter vacations, their yeshiva week, how many houses around the world or apartments they have. I am mistopic with what I have. I do not desire the money of others. Shekeim Atzinu Ba'Avram, like we find by Avram, Sha'amar LaMelech Stom. He said to the king of Stom after the war of the four kings and the five kings, Melech Stom comes out. I'm sorry, Malki Tzadak. Melech Shalem comes out to meet him. I want to give him reparations. So Avram Avinu says, I don't want anything from you. I don't want a string from you. I don't want a shoelace from you. I don't want anything from you. I'm mistopic, but what I have, I don't desire other people's money. This is what it means to be from the students of Avram Avinu. Continues the Bartanu of Ruach Nemucha, a low spirit, Anava Yeseira. So it's not just to have a nivus, it's to have extra anivus. I heard Rabbi Shai Shechter once say about his father, the Rosh Hashiva of Hershel Shechter Shlita, his humility is not even within my ability. And we are Zocha, and we go away for Shavuos, so the Rosh Hashiva Shlita comes on the Shavuos program. And it's a big schos. And Ruach Nemucha, Navi Yaseira. Rav Shai Shechter said about his father, Rav Herschel Shechter Shlita, his humility is not even within my ability. Ruach Nemucha does not just mean to be humble. It means to be so self-effacing, extra humble. The Chayin Matzinu Ba'Avram. So we find by Avram, remember, the Mishnah is telling us that these are the traits of the students of Avram Avinu. So the Bartur Nura says, you see that Avram Avinu had a good eye. He doesn't want other people's money. He says after the War of the Four and Five Kings, I don't want payment, I don't want reparations. You keep your shoelaces, I'll keep what I have. Ruach Nemucha, we see that by Avram Avinu as well. Anava Yesera, it's an extra degree of anivus. Vanochi Afar Ve'Ever, he know naho alti the daber. Vanochi Afar Ve'Ever, when he's davening for the men of Sodom and Amor, the people, he says, behold God, I am but dust and ashes. V'nefesh shafala, zihirus v'haprisha minataivos. So the Bartanur explains it slightly differently than the sources we've been looking at until now. What is nefesh shafal, says the Bartanur? Zihirus, you are on guard to be careful, v'haprisha, and you separate from min hataivos. You separate yourself from base desires. That's nefesh shafal. In other words, you lower your soul from not having strong desires. Umatzinu zeh ba'avram, he gives an interesting example. When do we see ba'avram, says the Bartanur, that he had this midas zihirus and prisha minataiva? He was very careful. He was on guard to separate from desire. Dichtiv, like the pasuk says, kine no yadati kishe famaret al. He quotes when Avram and Sarah are going down to Egypt in the beginning of Lech Lecha, and they see Sarah's reflection in a stream of water, and Avram says, "Oy Givalt, you're a beautiful woman. Now I know you're a beautiful woman. The Egyptians will surely take you to Paro." Why does he say, "Hino na yadati kishe farmeradat"? Oh my gosh, I only know now you're a beautiful woman. Says the Bartanur, this proves he had a nefesh shafala. He didn't have a strong desire for taiva. Sha'ad achshav, though he kibram me rov tznias. He was so, there was so much tznias between them, he didn't recognize her extreme physical beauty in Tonar. This is a proof, says the Bartanura, that he was prisha minataiva. He was porish minataiva. He separated himself from taiva. So the Bartanura says, nafesh shafala is not mistapik b'miyu. He says, ayin tov is mistapik b'miyu. Ruach nemucha is anava yaseira. And nafesh shafala is separating yourself from the desires of this world. However, u'bebilam, but when it comes to Bilam, ashkechan ayin ra. His defining trait was this wicked eye. Shahaya yodea shahaya ra b'nei hamakom shayalich etzel balak. Bilam knew that it was bad in God's eyes that he was going to Balak, and yet he was going to get a reward. What reward? Payment! If Balak will give me his house full of silver and gold. So you see, says the Bartanura, nefesh shafala is removing yourself from base physical desires, which Avram Avinu did. On the other hand, Bilam desired physicality more and more. How do we know that Bilam had a ruach gevoa, a conceited spirit? Because he says, he gives a prophecy and he says about himself, before the prophecy, how does he describe himself? Bilam says, Nu'um shomea imrekel, v'yodea das elyon. Bilam harasha describes himself as one who hears the word of God and knows the thoughts of God. There's a famous saying by a Hasidic rabbi, if I understood God, I would be God. If I knew him, I would be him. Bilam thinks, professes, proclaims that he knows the mind of God. This proves he has a ruach gevoha. I am his grace, Ribbono Shel. When Hashem says, Miha Nashim Ha'ela, who are these people who came to call you? Bilam says, oh, Balak ben Sipor shalachusam. Says Rashi, Bilam was saying to God, you might not think I'm important, God, but Balak thinks I'm plenty important. He was full of himself. The nefesh rechava, sheim lo haya rav hataiva, lo haya yo eitz lahaf kir benos mov liznus. He was the rav taiva, he was the rabbi of taiva. The end of the parsha is very tragic. The end of the parsha is the znus between the benos moav and the benos midjad and the bnei Yisrael, primarily from the tribe of Shimon. Pinchas gets up, he kills them with a spear, they're sinning publicly, Zimri and Cosby. But the Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin, how did Balak have this idea? Where did he get this idea from? So Bilam came and he said, listen, I really talk, I wasn't successful. I tried to curse them, I only blessed them. Balak claps his hands and he says, I want a refund. You're terrible at your job, what did I hire you to do? So Bilam says, okay, you're right, but I have a different idea. Set up tents, put a zona on the outside and a zona on the inside. Skena would be chusts, Yalda Mibifnim, put an old zona on the outside, a young zona on the inside. When the Jews are full and they ate and they drank and they go for a walk in the shuk, have the zona seduce the Jewish men, and that's Taka, exactly what he did. So Nefesh Rechava, we know that he was Rav Taiva. He wasn't just a person who had a taiva, he was a Baal Taiva. Lo Haya Yo'et, if he wasn't a Baal Taiva, he would not have given the advice to make Hefker, the Benos Moav, for Znus with the Bnei Yisrael. For Amru Chachamim, how disgusting was he? Furthermore, the Gemara says, Bilam Bo'el Asono Haya. Bilam was involved in acts of bestiality with his animal. That trusty donkey that he was riding upon, he didn't just ride upon it to get from place A to place B. She says, you ride me every day. Every day you ride upon me. The Gemara says he would ride upon his donkey in a sense of bestiality. Nefesh Rechava. He had so much taiva, nothing was ever enough. Then the Bartanur continues, based on the Mishnah, Lahan Chil Ohavai Yesh, I will cause an inheritance for those who love me, says God, Avram Ikre Ohev. Avram is called the beloved of God. Yesh Ba'olam Haba, Ve'otzrosei Mamalei Ba'olam Haza. I will give those who love me, the students of Avraham Avinu, a tremendous portion in the next world, and I will fill their treasure houses in this world. They will have a wonderful world in this world. However, Anshe Damim, men of blood like Bilam, Umirma, and Deceit, Bilam Ikre Ish Damim. Bilam was known as a man of blood. Shehi Pil Ba'atza, so Esrim Va'arba Alafa Mi'isra. Because of Bilam, 24,000 Jews perished because of his advice. One of the things that the Bartanur has just told us is that Bilam was such a Ruach Gevoa, he professed to know the thoughts of God. He calls himself one who hears God and knows the thoughts of God. And that's what it means, as a Bartanur, he had a Ruach Gevoa. He thought he was like God. He thought he was better than God. He says about himself, Nu'um Shomei Imrei Kel. Have you ever seen anyone like me who hears God and knows the mind of God? So we will finish. I don't know if I'm going to have time for this whole thing either. But Rabbi Dr. Norman Lamb, let's just do a couple of minutes. Rabbi Dr. Norman Lamb, Zichrono Livracha, says, after one of his truly eloquent prophecies, Bilam begins by referring to himself with typical modesty, which is sarcastic. Bilam says about himself, Yodea Das Elyon. He knows the thoughts of the Almighty. The rabbis are astonished, in awestruck astonishment. They say about Bilam, a man who cannot know the thoughts of a mere animal, he doesn't know Das Behemto, can know the thoughts of the Almighty Das Elyon. A man who does not have the vision of a four-legged beast, the donkey sees things he doesn't even see, can boast of divine knowledge. More importantly, a man who can mistreat and abuse his innocent she-donkey, that the animal says, what have I done to you that you have hit me three times? Can such a man of meanness and pettiness, ayin ra'a, ruach gevoha, v'nefesh rechava, can a man of such meanness and pettiness and cruelty, he hits her three times, boast of knowing the innermost thoughts of God? This is not only a question of the sages, says Rabbi Dr. Norman Lamb, it is a devastating condemnation. They condemn Bilam, but not only Bilam himself, the type he represents. I found this essay in the Sefer Drashot LeDorot to be very, very powerful. If you know anyone like this, you will relate to this very, very strongly. If you don't personally know anybody like this, you can think of certain politicians on the world stage. But if you personally know anyone like this, it's really powerful. Bilam doesn't only represent himself. He represents a certain type of person. A type that is so common, says Rabbi Lamb, so tragically abundant, that it has colored world history and colors the lives of so many of us. There's a Bilam type. The type who talks with God. Who professes to be Yodea Dat Elyon. They profess great faith, great morals, great ethics. The society, the level of morality in the society in which we live is beyond depraved, lacking morality. Balaam practiced bestiality, proverbially, and there are those who practice bestiality metaphysically. There are those who profess great faith, societies who claim great morals, cultures who say they have great ethics. They speak eloquently of their honor. They speak lavishly of their own integrity, of their own sincerity. But this is all in the realm of abstract principles. They let ethics, morals, and faith suffocate into the thin atmosphere of the upper heavens. They claim to be honorable. They claim integrity and sincerity. They profess great faith, great morals, and great ethics. But this is all in the realm of the imagination. And those ethics they speak about, the morals they profess to live by, the faith they claim they have, suffocates into the thin atmosphere of the upper heavens. While in practice, such a person or such a society does not even know the thoughts of his own animal. He violates the most elementary principles of morality and ethics. He practices every conceivable form of treachery and sin. This is the gulf between theory and practice, between talking and doing. There is a vast abyss which separates professing, one who professes to be wise, professes to be moral, like the society in which we live, professes to be ethical, professes to be faithful. They profess one thing and they perform something else. Balaam is the root of the perverted genius. Balaam is the root of the perversion of normal human intelligence and pretense. Balaam is the root of the perversion of society and culture. We just, on Sunday, myself, my husband, and two of the kids, we went to the Vanderbilt Museum out on Long Island. I don't know if anyone's been there. Someone recommended it to me a couple of weeks ago. She told me she was there. It was really beautiful, beautiful grounds. We took food from the bagel store to have a picnic there on the lawn. And there's this interesting museum that Vanderbilt sailed the world, and he brought back all sorts of specimens. It was a really nice day if you're interested. Anyway, they just had in one very small display case, because one of his wives was like a suffragette. So they were showed some pictures of women marching, and I guess it was the 1920s. One woman was more tsundua than the next. They're marching for women's rights. They're wearing long skirts, hats, blazers, sleeves, necks. This is how people were 100 years ago. Everyone was tsundua. That's just how society was. You wouldn't dare go out into the street, anything less than that. Today we live in a society where the Balaam type not only permeates the entire society as we know it, but permeates Orthodox Jewish society as well. Balaam is the root of the perverted genius and of the perversion of normal human intelligence and pretense. This is the tragedy of one who claims he has great vision but has detestable living. This is the tragedy of one who says he has high principles but low deeds. This is the tragedy of prophesying like Moshe but practicing the morals of an animal. I read it a couple months ago, this piece by Rabbi Lam, and I was very moved. It's a much longer essay. It's in Drasha Lidoro, Book of Numbers, Parshas Palak. Go look it up. I was very moved because if this was said 60 years ago, what on earth shall we say today? And this is why a Jew must be so careful about too much high talk. Don't talk so much. And too few high deeds. Elsewhere, the Mishnah tells us in Pirkei Avos, Emor ma'at va'asei harbei. Bilam, emor harbei va'asei ma'at. We must be sure to be from the students of Avraham Avinu. We must be those who are emor ma'at va'asei harbei. Bilam said, I know the thoughts of God. How can you know the thoughts of God? You don't know the thoughts of your own animal. You live like an animal and you pretend to know the thoughts of God. Furthermore, the Mishnah tells us elsewhere, Kol amar b'dvarim mevi chet. Whoever speaks a lot brings sin. Concludes Rabbi Dr. Norman Lamb, we who are descended from Moshe, and I will add in an Avram, and not Balaam, must live up to the traditions of the Nevi'ei Ha'amet, prophets of truth. The greatest eloquence is in righteous living, Don't worry about speaking so much, which is a little ironic for someone who spends her whole week in speaking. But okay, lemaisa, Shem shadhal mi, Shem sefasai tiftach ufi agiti asach alavai. The greatest eloquence is not in speaking. Bilam spoke and spoke and spoke and spoke. He was a crass, low-life scumbag. He slept with his animal. He thought he was it. He wanted a house full of gold and silver. He was never satisfied with what he had, and everything was an iron rod. He spoke a lot. A lot of good it did him. The greatest eloquence is not in speaking. It's in righteous living. The finest poetry is good deed. He had very fine poetry, but he lived like an animal, like a beast. The greatest eloquence is in righteous living. The finest poetry is a good deed. The highest philosophy is the performance of a mitzvah. And the most precious knowledge of God, what does it mean to really know Das Elyon? To be sympathetic to your fellow man, which ties in so perfectly to my share of this morning, if you heard it. We who are descended from Avram and Moshe, and not Bilam, must live up to the traditions of Nevi'i Ha'amet, the prophets of truth. For the greatest eloquence is in righteous living. The finest poetry is a good deed, Ma'isim Tovim. The highest philosophy is Asiyas HaMitzvos. And to really know the mind of God, Yodea Das Elyon, it's the sympathy we extend to our fellow man. Says the Mishnah, Kol Shoyesh Mish Yesh V'Lishlosh Advarim Halalu, Ayin Tova, Ruach Nemucha, V'Nefesh Shvala, Mitamidav Sha'avram Avinu. Kol Mish Yesh V'Lishlosh Advarim Achirim, Ayin Ra'a, Ruach Gevoha, V'Nefesh Rechava, Mitamidav Sha'Bilam HaRasha. I thank very, very, very much Sandy Leader, who is sponsoring the Zecher Nishmas Her Mother, Gracia Bas Rafal, whose yahrzeit was when we began this year, on the 15th of Tammuz, and also sponsoring the Zecher Nishmas her uncle, who was murdered al Kiddush Hashem, Rav Shmuel Ben Rafal, whose yahrzeit is right now, this evening, 16 Tammuz. I thank Hoffman very, very much. These are people who sponsored multiple times, Tizku the Mitzos Ula Maisim Tovim, and it's because of all of you that the Shir Mamish keeps going. Gail Hoffman, who's sponsoring Zecher Nishmas, her father's 37th Yahrzeit Shabbos, 17 Tammuz, Chaim ben Moshe, Alav Hashem, and a Refuah Shleima B'Karov for Shlomo ben Saradina, and a Chanan Pesach ben Sarah. And finally, we thank Malka Hach very much, who's sponsoring Zecher Nishmas, her father, Mordechai Avram ben Binyamin, Alav Hashem, who lost his wife and five children in the Shoah, but with great amuna and inner strength went on to build anew and leave a legacy behind. So I wish everybody an uplifting, a meaningful Shabbos Kodesh. We have to remember of Maylech says, someone who doesn't work on Tikkun Amidas is the biggest mazik. May the Rebbeinu Shalom help us to always be of the students of Avram Avinu. Thank you so much. Just a note, we do need sponsors for August. I have a sponsor for August 4th, but after, important, calendar. August 11th, I have a sponsor for August 4th. August 11th, there is no shir due to an upcoming family simcha be'ezor Hashem. So August 4th, I have a sponsor. August 11th, there is no shir due to a family simcha. The rest of August does need sponsors. Tizkun mitzvos, ma'isim tovim to all, besoros tovus, and a wonderful Shabbos. Thank you, Kol Tov. Amalki Sultan, your grandmother's nifter, 18th grandfather, and 18 Tammuz, so we have 15, 16, 17, and 18. Teinish masam tzvar b'tzvar achayim. Thank you so much, everybody. Kol Tov.